20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. It is your one-stop shop for all things green and gold. My name is Mike Lund. I'm joined this week by Mark Eckel and Gage Bridgeford. And guys, it's good to have a game preview again after playing last Thursday night. It's been 10 long days and a very long week. But now the Packers are into Arrowhead to take on the Chiefs in what is going to be quite the marquee matchup of Jordan Love against Patrick Mahomes. I guess, Mark, what are you looking for this game as we get into our preview?
I'm looking for Jordan Love. I mean, this is all about Jordan Love now this week. And like you said, the Arizona game was 10 days ago. It seemed like it was about 3 months ago. I mean, it was a great win, great game, everything. But wow, it just seems like there's so much has happened and not happened. And much has been made about, you know, obviously Aaron Rodgers isn't playing because he tested positive. And then his interview with Pat McAfee kind of has everybody up in arms. Can I just say this before we start? Why do people get so worked up over football players and what they say? They're football players. I mean, they're not. Maybe because I've dealt with football players for, you know, 2/3 of my life. I mean, they're good people. They're guys like anybody else. But I mean, what Aaron Rodgers said and did is like, it's like way low on the list of things that happened in the NFL this week. The Oakland Raiders had their number one draft pick from a year ago kill somebody. He's going to go to jail for God knows how long. And that's gotten brushed aside because Aaron Rodgers said he's allergic to a vaccine and didn't want to get it. And, you know, and maybe not. I'm not going to say he lied. He misled people about it. I mean, but so what? I mean, that on the grand scheme of things, that's not very important when other things. The Washington football team is a complete disaster and it's being covered up. The Cleveland Browns released a wide receiver who was fighting with his quarterback, a guy that they traded a lot to get just a couple years ago. All that to me is much more newsworthy in terms of NFL stuff than the Packers quarterback, you know, testing positive. Alan Lazard missed the game last week because he wasn't vaccinated. It wasn't no big deal. I mean, he missed the game.
But it's because of who he is. It's because of the MVP of the league, and it gives everybody the chance to kind of disassociate with their lives and whatnot. We're not going to get into too much of that today. Mark, I appreciate you addressing it from the beginning, though.
I'm more upset that Aaron Rodgers is missing a game. I don't care if he – I mean, I don't know. And it's because people can argue about – you can't argue about Henry Ruggs. I mean, no one's going to – defend him, right? I mean, you know, he was wrong on him for 100 things, but you can argue over Rock. Oh, vaccine, this thing, you know. So that's why people just want to talk about it. But to me, it's like I just wish he was playing more. But instead, we got Jordan Love, and we get a chance to see a guy that I've been wanting to see since the Packers drafted him in the first round.
Yep, and I'm excited to watch him. I've been talking to friends and whatnot over the last few days, and I'm excited. Would I rather have Aaron Rodgers under center? Absolutely. I don't feel like Green Bay's completely shot. And whether that's confidence in Jordan Love or confidence in a guy that I think is not getting talked about enough for Coach of the Year, Matt LaFleur has given me all the confidence in the world and in his ability to lead this team with or without Aaron Rodgers. And you look at a guy like I'm going to compare him to Brandon Staley really quick. Brandon Staley has been the darling of the analytics and sports writer media because he says all the right things. He's like, we're going to be aggressive on first and second down. We're going to go for it on fourth down more. We're going to do all this stuff. But he hasn't actually done it versus LaFleur. He says all the right things. And for the most part, he does all the right things outside of his and Rodgers' ability to just burn timeouts and think that they have 17 of them every half. I think that they do a great job of constantly trying to be different, innovate, and they can win in so many different ways. And that's why I have a lot of confidence in Green Bay being able to keep this game close and being able to hang, as we're going to talk about today. I'm not nervous at all. Again, I would rather have Rodgers under center. We don't. That's okay. We move on. Rather than thinking like a couple of years ago when Rodgers broke his collarbone, we were all like, well, we're sunk. I don't feel like that's the case now with Love under center because of this support system he has around him for this matchup.
And I think you're spot on with that. And not only that, when you look at the players have said the right things, look at what Aaron Jones has been saying, Davante Adams being back now, Kenny Clark's been saying a lot, like they have his back, and you know the game plan's going to be to take all the pressure off Love that you can. They're going to let him sling it over a little bit, but Yeah, it's like this is going to be a very heavy Aaron Jones, A.J. Dillon type of game with Devontae Adams. We had a couple shots now to Marquez Valdes-Scantling, who's back on the roster. Like, it's going to be a simpler game plan than what we would have expected if it had been Rodgers under center. But that doesn't mean Love is just going to be sitting there trying to beat Rodgers. He's going to be Jordan Love, and he's going to be a guy that they're going to let him play within what he can do at this point, being a 22-year-old quarterback, and trust the playmakers around him to win this game.
Oh, I agree. And I agree with what Gage said about Matt LaFleur. You know, he won't get coach of the year, no matter what the Packers do. He won't get it because, and I used to have a vote for coach of the year. You always vote for, it's always a team that nobody thought was going to be good that turns out being good. So whoever that team is this year, a team that makes the playoffs that no one thought was going to make the playoffs or win the division. So it's probably right now, the leader is probably Taylor in Cincinnati. You know, they've been bad forever, and they look like they might be decent. Although if they keep losing to teams like the Jets, it might not help them. But that's who gets it. But and in spite of that, like Bill, I don't think Bill Belichick's ever won coach of the year. If I'm not mistaken, I don't think he's ever won it. But guess what? He's won a bunch of Super Bowls. So I'll exchange Matt LaFleur not winning coach of the year for him winning a Super Bowl. But what he's done this year, start from the beginning, start from the offseason when he had to deal with, is my MVP quarterback coming back or not? You know, and he had to get ready for that. And then all the injuries this team has had, and not just injuries to guys, injuries to all pros. He hasn't had his Pro Bowl all pro left tackle all season. He hasn't had his best pass rusher for all but 18 snaps of the first game. And those 18 snaps weren't very good because the guy really shouldn't have even been playing probably. He hasn't had his Pro Bowl corner for more than half the year. He loses his rookie center, who was playing very well. We go on and on. Devontae Adams missed the game. MVS missed 3 or 4 games. I mean, the way they beat the Cardinals last Thursday night or 2 Thursday nights ago, I expect a similar, because Aaron Rodgers was good in that game, but he wasn't MVP in that game because they relied on Dillon and Jones and quick short passing. I expect the same kind of game plan today, but maybe with a couple more lull the Chiefs into thinking you're going to run and quick little short, and then bang, hit him with a bomb to MVS or hit him with a Devontae Adams for, you know, over the middle for 25 or so. Like Gage said earlier, Jordan Love has not only does he have a good supporting cast with his coaches, and let's give Hackett some credit too, because I think he's much involved in the game plan as well. But he has two good running backs, two very good running backs, and all his wide receivers back now. So there are worse situations for a young quarterback making his first NFL start to be in than the one Jordan Love's going to be in later today.
Yeah, real quick. So, Greg, Bill Belichick has 3 Coach of the Year titles. His last one was in 2010. He won in 10, 03, and then 07, obviously, when they went undefeated all the way to the Super Bowl. And just out of curiosity, I also looked up Greg Popovich, same guy, also great coach for a long time, also only won 3 Coach of the Year awards throughout that time.
Did Phil Jackson ever win one?
Didn't look up Phil Jackson. I was more just like trying to look at guys that like have had long runs, but you're like, they haven't really won a ton of Coach of the Years. And those were two guys that obviously you can make the argument Bill could have won Coach of the Year. Could have run several years, kind of like LeBron could have won MVP many years in the NBA and just didn't. But anyway, moving on. You're right about the Hackett aspect of things. I think that Hackett is a very underrated portion of this because he controls like the red zone, that, and Green Bay's red zone has been a little, red zone offense specifically has been a little underwhelming so far this year. Granted, the red zone defense hasn't been too stunning either. Up until the last couple of weeks, but Hackett is still a very key part of how this whole thing works. Rodgers, anytime that he would talk about the offense and talk about the play calling and putting the plays together, he would talk about the work that Hackett did and the work that LaFleur does. LaFleur, like you said, he last week in a game that Rodgers was not MVP level play, they found a way to get a win. Granted, and I think that the game should have been as close as it was. I think A.J. Dillon should have gotten more touches, especially down close to the goal line. Like, mate, on that play, on that series where they had 4 straight runs to Aaron Jones, maybe you give A.J. Dillon 1 or 2 of those. Just let the guy who has ran over everybody all night long and has drugged guys 3 to 4 yards, even after being hit in the backfield, let him get that shot. He didn't. You move on. Green Bay came out of the game with a win, which is at the end of the day, that's all that matters. It doesn't matter. I don't care if Zach Taylor is doing well because you've been bad forever. Cool. You were bad for 2 years before this, so I'm not like not willing to just hand you an award. It's like, you have just been good this year. LaFleur has been good both of his first 2 years, and he's good again this year. And as you pointed out, all these guys he doesn't have. Hasn't had David Bakhtiari. Elgton Jenkins been in and out of lineup. Z hasn't played since week one and basically didn't play in week one. Your secondary has been decimated outside of your safeties, and even Darnell Savage has missed a little bit of time, but Jair Alexander's missed time. Stokes didn't start week one. King's been banged up for several weeks. He's coming back this week. You're playing Rasul Douglas, who was on the practice squad for the Cardinals three, four weeks ago. You're getting play and getting good play out of everybody all over the roster, and that is the sign of a good coach. A good coach can make everybody on the roster play to their full potential. And that's the main thing that I look at between a team like Green Bay and a team like Tampa. Everyone's like, oh, Tampa's got stars here. Cool. Green Bay's getting more out of their players, even if they're not superstars. And that's the mark of a good coach. A good coach can bring everybody up to a star level. That's the level of play he's bringing in. And I'm excited to watch what he does this week and then even possibly next week. Obviously, Rodgers can return next week Saturday to the facility, and that's the first time he can come back. But if he isn't able to come back, I'm not, like, against Seattle, I'm not, like, scared that Jordan Love's the one suiting up, possibly against Russell Wilson or whoever else is going to be up there for them at quarterback. Because LaFleur and this team and this system around him gives you the confidence that we haven't had in Green Bay for a long time.
No, I'm with you. And I guess a couple things to add on to that. Let's also give some love to Luke Getsy for his work as the quarterback's coach with Love. You know, he's working really hard with him, both during the weeks when Rodgers was around, but also this week, I think him and Hackett working really closely with him, getting him ready, getting his mechanics right, getting him focused in the huddle. Because I know Davante Adams said on Friday that he has really been impressed with Love's presence during running the first team reps when they're breaking huddles and everything like that. And also, you talk about putting your players in the best position to make plays. And that's kind of what we haven't seen in Kansas City this year. They're all out of sorts right now. And everyone's saying this could be their get right game, but their offense has been out of sync. Mahomes has been freelancing a bit too much. Hill hasn't been able to beat coverages. Kelsey's been doing his thing, but this Kansas City team is not playing like the well-oiled Kansas City team we had been seeing the past couple of years that had won a Super Bowl.
Well, their defense has been atrocious as well. They haven't played well at all. They blitz at times. I mean, they want to blitz, but it hasn't gotten there. Their secondary isn't what it was. I don't know what's happened there, but they have four wins, right? Kansas City, 4-4. Three or four are against the three stooges of the NFC East: the Eagles, Giants, and Washington. I mean, three of the worst teams in the league, probably. I mean, the reason I'm confident, and again, getting back to the Matt LaFleur thing, what we're saying now all sounds great. I hope we're not jinxing anything, but the reason people don't give Matt LaFleur enough credit is because he has Aaron Rodgers. So when people think of the Packers winning in the last year, is getting to the title game, going 13-3, they're giving Rodgers more credit than LaFleur. And I'm not sure it's accurate or not, but that's just people's opinion. If he wins tomorrow or today without Aaron Rodgers, with a young quarterback, if the offense doesn't miss a beat and Love looks great, that's a lot of points for Matt LaFleur. However, worst case scenario, Love looks awful, the offense is out of sync, they don't do anything and lose by a lot, then people that say it's all Rodgers are going to have a pretty good argument. Mike McCarthy, you know, lived off Favre and Rodgers for a long time, and then when he had to play Brent Hundley, he wasn't very good, right? So, you know, we'll see what happens. But I am confident. I just like Jordan Love. I think Jordan, I like the pick. I'm one of the few people that actually liked the pick when they made it. And now I'm anxious to see what I liked. But Kansas City, I mean, they're going through that Super Bowl loser jinx, which, other than New England, because Tom Brady's Tom Brady, look it up, look back. The team that loses the Super Bowl struggles the next year. Some of them make the playoffs, but when they do, they usually get eliminated early. Look at the, you know, 49, and a lot of it, sometimes injuries, whatever, but you can't tell me it's not real, because it's real. The 49ers were a mess last year. The Rams were a mess two years ago, and now Kansas City's following that same trend. You lose the Super Bowl, and it's a hangover that you don't get over right away.
Every time that somebody's asked me in the last few weeks, whether it's like a work or around the house or whatever, someone said, hey, what's going on with Kansas City? Why are they struggling? And my response at one point in time, it was just, they're just working through a funk. But now it's very quickly become apparent that it's luck has run out. And when I say that, they're like, what do you mean? I'm like, go back and look at last year. Patrick Mahomes had more interceptions dropped than anybody else. I believe he had 16 or 17 interceptions dropped on the year. This year, those interceptions aren't dropping as much. He threw one late in the Giants game that could have cost them the game. He got lucky that there was an offsides penalty. It's luck isn't going their way. Those balls, that like it's an egg-shaped ball that bounces. It never bounces the same way twice. And right now, the ball has, rather than bouncing their way every single time, it's bouncing the other direction. I look at it like Seattle. Seattle, at the beginning part of this decade, it seemed like every time they played, the ball bounced their way. It was Doug Baldwin, the ball bouncing off of him while he's sliding across the ground, and it still ends up on his lap. The Brandon Bostic play that I know we all try to forget, but it happened. There's just every single time a play happened that could have gone their way or could have gone the other way, Fail Mary went their way every time. And the Chiefs, for the last few years, that's the way it's gone. Obviously, they had the Dee Ford play that cost them the first trip to the Super Bowl that the Patriots went to and beat the Rams. They had just every play has seemingly seemed to go their way. And at a certain point, that luck just runs out. And also, your roster gets expensive. Guys get traded because you can't afford to keep them all around. And that's just the way it goes. They're keeping all these guys, like Tyrann Mathieu's back. You still have Travis Kelce, Tyreek Hill. But there's only so much money to go around. You're going to have to trade guys. They just had to trade Laurent Duvernay-Tardif the other day. And it was simply like – and Tardif started for them in the Super Bowl. But they just – it came down to money. They weren't going to have enough money to keep him. And so they got something for him. It was a backup tight end who probably won't play that much for him. But they got something because just the roster gets expensive. The roster gets older as well. I'm not sure how old Mathieu is off the top of my head, but I'm pretty sure he's in his early 30s at this point. It's just the way it goes. And this roster for Kansas City is still a talented one. Obviously, Mahomes is still one of the most prolific quarterbacks in the league, but people are also forcing him to play a game that he doesn't want to play. And that's why, like everyone said, oh, the blueprint that the Bucks put out. No, that's not 100% true, but at a certain point it is. Rodgers is willing to take these dump offs. He's still not always willing to take it, but he's more willing to do it than Mahomes is. Mahomes keeps trying to force the deep shot, and this Green Bay defense will make you pay for that. I'm pretty sure Green Bay has a turnover in every single game this season, at least one. I think they have like 8 straight games now with a turnover this year. That's because they are making plays, and Green Bay will force Mahomes to take those checkdowns. And with their tackling this year, which I think I saw a couple weeks ago, they were number one in the league for missed tackles this year. I know that for those of us that watch Packer football over the last few years, that doesn't happen. Green Bay has consistently had issues with tackling, and right now they're tackling well. So if they force Mahomes to take those checkdowns, even if he takes it, they're rallying up to the ball and they're hitting guys and they're taking them down on the first try. They're not necessarily letting guys slip through all that often. So
I'm with you on that. The thing that will help the Packers defense especially is that Kansas City is either unable or unwilling to run the ball more often than not. We saw that in the Giants game. The one drive they ran the ball was successful, but other than that, Bieniemy and Reed just ignored it, and they could not pound the rock in the slightest. And so if you give Rashawn Gary and Preston Smith a chance to tee off on Orlando Brown at tackle, it's gonna be a long day for Mahomes because he's gonna have to try and escape. But with the motors that those guys have, they're not gonna let him get very far. Mahomes is really athletic, but he's also not the burner of a guy like Lamar Jackson or even like a Josh Allen. So that's one of those things where the Packers pass rush, if the Chiefs offense isn't working, that's going to change things around a lot.
My thing with Kansas City, I just think Mahomes is still Mahomes. I mean, he hasn't played like he had the last couple of years, you know, last 2-3 years when they were going to Super Bowl, getting to the AFC Championship game. But the pressure's been getting to him. Every team they play has really gotten, I mean, the teams that have given them a hard time, they've gotten good pressure, and it's forced them into mistakes. He will make mistakes. As Gage pointed out, he's made mistakes in the past, but has gotten away with them. This year, he's not. The best game Kansas City's played this year offensively was probably against the Philadelphia Eagles, who didn't get any pressure on. And that's
why. And they played with the lead the entire game. Exactly. This defense that's aggressive is built to play with the lead. They're not built to play from behind, and that's what they've been doing a lot this year.
So the Packers, I think the key for Green Bay today is getting pressure. I mean, that's almost always the key, but especially today, they have to make Mahomes, and they don't necessarily have to get a sack, but make him move off uncomfortable. Make him throw the ball sooner than he wants. Make him, he'll throw it up for grabs, and we've seen that. So Kenny Clark has to dominate up front the way he has most of the season, but especially recently. Rashawn Gary has to come on. I think we'll see more and more of Whitney Mercilus, who's been getting some pressure in his 30-some snaps a game that he's been getting. I'm hoping Dean Lowry's listed on the injury report with a hamstring. I'm hoping he's okay because Kiki's out. And that's a guy that – it's a shame. Every time he starts to play well, he ends up getting hurt. Another concussion, and he's going to be out this week. Hopefully he's back sooner than he was last year when he got the concussion and never came back. Because, I mean, I think up front is where they're going to have to win this game on defense. I think the defensive front seven has to get pressure. They'll be playing deep. They'll be keeping everything in front of them. I'm glad, you know, I know Packer fans always want to whip Kevin King, but I'm glad he's back. I don't know if he's going to start because the way Douglas is playing and Stokes is playing, I'm not sure I would take either one of them out, but it's good to have another, you know, experienced defensive back in there. I mean, the Packers can win this game. I'm not in the lead. I think they can win this game.
Yeah. When I saw that the betting line, like where it had moved to, I was very quickly in the group of taking Green Bay to cover because you could. And I also have a little bit of money sprinkled on them as the on the money line. So they were at what they opened as 2.5-point dogs, and the line moved. And at one point it got down to Green Bay. It was a pick 'em between the two sides. It was even money on both sides. And as soon as and then the books took it down at about noon, obviously, when the Rodgers news came out. And Green Bay at one point got up to 8. I believe I got it at 8.5, actually. Wow. I got pretty lucky with where I got it. But Green Bay has the formula to, even if they don't necessarily beat Kansas City, I have confidence that they can. Even if they don't beat them, they have the formula to keep it more than close with Kansas City can't stop the run. And A.J. Dillon and Aaron Jones are more than capable of beating up this Kansas City team. And if Green Bay can do that, control the clock, even if they don't beat them, they can keep the game close. And all it takes is one mistake by Kansas City, who's made more than a few of those this year, for Green Bay to capitalize. You have two running backs. This is exactly why you have these guys. So if your quarterback is ever a downgrade, I don't think anybody's going to make the argument that Jordan Love is better than Aaron Rodgers right now. I mean, we're going to wait and see, but this is why you have these guys. So that way, if your quarterback isn't having a perfect game or you have a young quarterback who isn't 100% ready for the moment, you can lean on these running backs and let them support Jordan Love just like they supported Aaron Rodgers last week. Aaron Rodgers wasn't having his best game. That's okay. Hand it to A.J. Dillon. He'll rip off a carry for 6 yards on first down and set you up in 2nd and 4. That's great. He averaged, I'm pretty sure, over 5 yards per carry on the night. Aaron Jones had a bunch of touches, found the end zone once, nearly found it twice. Green Bay team is built to beat people in a variety of ways on the offensive side. You were right, by the way, that they do need to win up front, and they can win up front. Rashawn Gary and Preston Smith against Orlando Brown is a good matchup for Green Bay. Orlando Brown is a big, strong guy. He's not the most fleet of foot. I know we've all seen the infamous video of him running the 40 and looking just almost as unathletic as I am, but it was not a good look for him. And he's never been an athletic guy. He's not super agile on his feet. Rashawn Gary can really get after him with his speed and his power. Preston Smith has looked great this year after a down year last year. This Green Bay defense is one of the scariest in the league because they've been good despite not being healthy. And I think that's where teams really need to be scared about is if this Green Bay defense is ever at full health, y'all are in trouble because there is dogs everywhere. And Joe Barry has them, like, he started the year slow and they've started to come on as of late. And as they get healthy and everybody gets better, they're going to cause problems for people because they know how to win games. And at the end of the day, that's all that matters. Doesn't matter if you win every game 25-24. If you're winning, you're winning.
And also the other fact, also, you probably have the reigning NFC Defensive Player of the Month covering Travis Kelce for most of the game. You got to think Campbell's going to be getting that assignment first. And they talk about another great move by first Brian Gutekunst bringing him in. Also, the coaching staff utilizing him the way that he should have been used in Atlanta and Arizona. I think this defense is for real. It's the front seven can dominate. I'm excited to see Jack Heflin up because I know he got so much hype in the preseason and in camp and as the trash can full of dirt, as he's been affectionately called by the beat. It's going to be good to see him getting some snaps. It sucks that Kingsley Kiki's out because this is the game where he could have a monster performance. But seeing some of these younger guys getting these snaps and learning on the fly, learning in a big environment like Kansas City is going to be so much fun to watch. So I think it's about time we should just move into our picks. So Gage, we'll go to you first. Gage, what are you picking for this one?
Screw it. I don't care. I'm picking Green Bay to win the game. I don't care. I think that Kansas City is good. I think that Kansas City is still a talented team, and I think that they can go beat people. I'm not picking them to beat Green Bay. I'm picking Green Bay to win. I think Green Bay goes into Arrowhead, and I think that they win a ugly, gross game. I think that they make the Chiefs try and play their game, and I think that that Green Bay is better at playing their game than Kansas City is at playing a game that's not theirs. I don't think it's going to be a high-scoring affair. The total right now is 48. I think ultimately you end up getting really close to that. I'm not 100% sure where it's going to go in terms of true total, but I think Green Bay wins this game. I think Green Bay wins the game 24-21. So ultimately it would fall under on the total there, but I think Green Bay can win this game, and that's what I'm predicting. If Green Bay loses the game, I won't be surprised. I'll be more surprised if Green Bay gets blown out in this game than if Green Bay loses the game outright. If they lose the game 24-17, I'll be like, all right, sure, it happens. But if Green Bay gets blown out, then I'll be a little bit like, that's not what I expected at all. But yeah, no, I'm predicting Green Bay to win the game right now.
What are you thinking, Mark?
I wish he went to me first because Gage stole my thunder. If I'm not the president, I'm the vice president of the Jordan Love fan club. So I'm behind him. I mean, I think he's better than Daniel Jones. And Daniel Jones should have beaten Kansas City last week.
That's not exactly hard to be better than Daniel Jones.
Exactly. Terrible. And Daniel Jones should have beaten Kansas City last week. I mean, if like you said, if a guy doesn't jump off sides, if there isn't another, the Giants just played stupid because they're the Giants. And that's what they do. And that's why they're 2-6 or whatever they are. But Daniel Jones gave Kansas City's defense some trouble. Well, I think, like I said, I think Jordan Love and Green Bay has much more around Jordan Love than the Giants have around Daniel Jones. So, yeah, I think Green Bay, I think Love is going to play well. I mean, he has to play well if I think the Packers are going to win. I mean, he'll play within himself. He'll make some plays. I think he'll run for some. I think you'll see him gaining some yards on the ground as well. And I think Jones and Dillon are going to be too much for Kansas City's defense. Being on the road Kansas City's home field isn't what it was. I think I have a little bit higher than Gage. You said what, 24-21? I think 28-24. I'll go Green Bay 28-24.
And I'm pretty much spot on with both of you guys. I think Love will play fine. I think he's gonna play smart, and I think they're gonna use him his legs a little bit more too. So I think it's a big game for Dillon and Jones. I think we're gonna see some random plays for the tight ends, which will be fun to watch because the KC linebackers aren't that great either. But I'm going 24-20. I think Green Bay wins. That hits the under. I think Gage is right. It's gonna be a sloppy, kind of ugly game for the people who are expecting the shootout that was supposed to happen now the past 2 years between Green Bay and Kansas City that hasn't happened. I think this will be a game where it's going to be a grinded out fourth quarter, and I think the Packers will get one of those 7-minute drives that's going to just completely destroy all hope for Kansas City in the fourth. And I think they take it 24-20, and I think they get their eighth in a row. So we have three guys. Call us homers, call us whatever you want. Green Bay's going to win. Mark, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter at MarkEckel08, Facebook Mark Eckel, and I write for Packer Report. I'll have a story up right after the game, an incident analysis. I have a story up now on the site looking back to Aaron Rodgers' first, not his first start like Jordan Love, but his first key appearance from 2007 when he came in against the Cowboys and played pretty well. And I think that set things in motion to let Brett Favre go and not unretire with them and move on to Rodgers. And I kind of speculate like, hey, depending on, let's see what Love does, and we might be seeing a little deja vu there.
And what about you, Gage?
As always, you can find me on Twitter at GBridgefordNFL. Still working on covering the Nuggets as well as fantasy football in general, covering the Nuggets for Denver Stiffs and fantasy football for Dynasty Nerds and Roto Baller. Still answering fantasy football questions, start sits, whatever, every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m., right up until that kickoff. Anything that's sent my way, whether it's a DM or an actual tweet, I respond to all of them, and I try to respond to them as quickly as possible, so that way you're not left scrambling due to a last-minute response. But glad to have everybody here. Glad to be back 2 weeks in a row now for the three of us, which I don't know the last time we had all three of us for 2 weeks in a row, but it's good for all of us to be here.
I got a quick question for Gage, since you brought up, I don't play fantasy football.
All right.
But I do have a fantasy football question for you.
All right.
Should I play Jordan Love tomorrow?
I can say that I have recommended Jordan Love to more than one person in the last few days.
That's what I wanted to hear.
All right. And you can find me on Twitter at Mike Wendland, all one word. Again, most of my work is in the broadcasting field at ZaleskiSports.com out of Central Wisconsin. If any of people who watched my game last night, a big thank you to everyone. We had a set of viewership record for the game I did last night for level 3 playoffs for high school football. Got winter sports coming up. You can find them at SkiSports.com there for my play-by-play work. And for, of course, for the Packaday Podcast, find us at Packaday Podcast on social media, on your favorite podcast platform. Packaday Podcast is there as well. And, of course, on YouTube. Andy's again continuing day in and day out doing good work there as well. So, everyone, thank you for joining us. Enjoy the game. It's the Packers and Chiefs, late afternoon from Kansas City. For Mark Eckel and for Gage Bridgeford, this is Mike Wendland. Everyone, stay cool, stay safe, always carry the G, and go Pack, go. Enjoy the game.